From retro myths to modern day masterpieces, we'll be breaking down the universe's most pondered gaming questions. Join us as we journey through our childhood memories. We'll be diving into what it meant to us growing up through the dawn of the internet. The Cake is a Lie podcast with your hosts, Gareth and Jamie.
Welcome to episode one, Jamie. I'm Gareth.
You're Jamie.
I'm Jamie.
Okay, so tell me, episode one. This is going to be our origin stories. Tell me, how are you feeling?
I'm very good. Yeah, I suppose just you pitched this idea of doing a podcast based off of you following another gaming podcast on Spotify, correct?
Press any button to continue.
Press any button to continue. Exactly. Yeah, and you got me into listening to them as well. You pitched this idea of doing a gaming podcast about our gaming art, how we fell into gaming. And how did you pitch that to me, Gareth?
Well, I think what's interesting about this, and this comes from the guys at Press Any Button to Continue, because they don't know each other's stories because they were not friends growing up, basically. So we have a similar thing where we were friends for a long time, but we weren't friends growing up. Nor for a long time did we know that each other was into gaming so much, because I think we met at the stage of our lives where being into games wasn't really cool anymore and you had to go out drinking or out with cars and motorbikes and so on.
Of course it was.
Of course it was, but secretly. And so we actually met through motorbikes, through our friend Darren.
Darren, yeah. But who was the other guy?
Dara, Shane and Lloyd.
Lloyd, that was the name I was trying to think of.
Lloyd was the guy you knew, I think.
So Lloyd was the one I knew, and then Dara, yeah, Camel RR.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all I remember actually of that, I just remember going up and we used to our racing up to the airport hill, and we used pull into the petrol station for free donuts.
Because they would throw them out at midnight and it was 24 hours.
Yeah. 1 minute past 12 and before bikers turned up, can I have your donuts, please?
Do you remember, though, when the gaming started between the two of us?
No.
Because when we were out on the motorbikes, we had no idea that the other person gamed. Because we didn't talk about that stuff.
I don't even know how that came about, because I think we went out collectively as a group, but we didn't start kind of hanging out for many years after. I think
that's right.
Just we all drifted, and then we touched base, and it was on Facebook Messenger. I think we just started chatting randomly one day.
Well, I think there was a break. So we had this biker gang when we were like 18, 19, 20 maybe. And then there was a break of like 3-4 years. And then I was looking for people to go out on the bike with. And we started talking on Facebook. And then I was like, oh, you see, it was kind of cool. Let's meet up again. And we met up. But it was just the two of us. So the dynamic was a bit different. And then I remember specifically, we were in Mahon Point at Halfords getting some shit from my car or something like this, my bike. I think we were in your car and we were waiting for something to open. I don't know, was it Halfords or something like this? And you showed me like a video on your phone and you were like, oh, I've been playing this game lately and this was Elite Dangerous.
That's how it started.
And this was the first mention that you, gained. And then I was like, oh, I have like an Xbox and PC and stuff, and I game a lot. And you were like, no way. And then we started talking, and then you showed me this Elite Dangerous game. And then we went to my house, and I couldn't figure out how to play Elite Dangerous, basically, because it's super complicated when you start. You don't know how to make money. So Elite Dangerous, the spaceship game.
You're in your sitting room in Douglas.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Your dad walking house. In. And Cody was there as well. Or Cody.
Yeah, exactly. My dog, not our friend.
Yeah, well, he's still our friend.
And... yeah, so you came to my house when we were pre-drinking or something like this, and you were like, I'm going to come to your house before we go out drinking and we'll earn loads of money playing Elite Dangerous. And then we were there for like 4 or 5 hours playing Elite Dangerous. We eventually went to town, and then all I was thinking about was being hungover the next day playing Elite Dangerous. And I was like completely hooked on that, and that was the first time that we started talking about gaming.
Man, that actually feels so long ago. Like, when you think...
It was almost, it was 10 years ago.
At all? I thought it would be longer, actually. Yeah, I suppose, yeah, 10.
I think 10 years, we were about 22, 23.
Well, no, that'd be longer, actually.
And now here we are. So
how old do you think I am?
We were...
Well, 13 years ago, so I'm 36.
I was 23, so it's 10 years ago for you. You were 26 at the time. Or?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Maybe I was slightly younger. I don't know. I think something like that. So today, what are we discussing?
So we first met through bikes. We established that we're both into gaming, and we started playing Elite Dangerous. And I think kind of off the back of that, then I think kind of Apex Legends kind of came about, and we were kind of dabbling here and there.
But it was always very modern gaming at the time. So it was Xbox One and onwards, basically, or PC gaming.
Yeah, would have been, yeah.
We never had like a discussion of, oh, I used to play this game when I was 12 or 13 or, you know, 6 or whatever. There was never any past discussion, which was the motivation then for starting this podcast, because now we can discover each other's stories, not knowing. I don't even know if you had Pokemon growing up, or if you had a Game Boy at all, or if you had any kind of consoles or just PC. I don't know anything.
Do you know, only growing up Game Boys, never owned one. But my cousin, we used to go over and spend Christmas, kind of St. Stephen's Day, Boxing Day. We used to go over for kind of a family meal, so there'd be about 15 of us collectively. And my cousin John, he'd be a big gamer. He was actually making his own game at one point. But they had Game Boys and stuff. And I just remember, like, it wasn't Pokemon, but I remember there was Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles and Batman and those games I remember playing on their Game Boy. But no, Game Boys, I've only played Pokemon on Game Boy, like probably like the intro to it. I've never actually played progressively through all the games. I'm half tempted to buy, actually, just to pick up a Game Boy cheaply and just plow on through a few Pokemon games.
Yeah, do it old school style with no backlight.
With no back and no color.
Yeah, no color and no backlight.
I think they didn't have the Game Boy they had. It was a massive one as well.
It was green and black, basically.
Not the small one, the big one.
Yeah, the chunky boy.
Let's
dive into it before we get into too many details. So basically the first topic I have for you is, what's your first memories of gaming?
First ever.
What's the first thing, first vivid memory, not coming from like a photo, but the first thing that you actually remember?
You see, it's not even like, I can just remember getting, like, it's weird as well, because like if you were to name specifically like a gaming platform, it's like I can automatically think of games I first played on those platforms. Like when we started our first ever gaming console, if you can call it that, was an Amstrad. So in effect, it just looked like an Amstrad. Yeah, you'd have to look that up. So do you have
this
an Amstrad?
Where your age is showing.
Yeah. So you have an Amstrad and you have a Commodore 64. They're both kind of similar. They're kind of like keyboards with a...
Okay, the Commodore 64, I know.
Yeah, and the Amstrad would be kind of a predecessor, I think, to that, I think.
Oh, okay.
But they were all floppy drive. All your games would be loaded onto it. And like I can remember like games like a game called Broken Axe or Alien Breed. And the thing is, what I'll actually do, I'll send you on a load of links to these games just so you can see the kind of the quality of them. And some of them were really good. Like, some of the game music for it is all 8-bit, but it was just really kind of easy.
But was,
retro game.
Was the Amstrad basically just a gaming PC, or was it, did it have specific games that only worked for that, or was it just running floppy disk games for any PC?
Just running floppy disk. So you just needed that, needed your... I can't remember. I think it plugged into your TV, if I remember. It was TV.
Plugged into a CRT.
Yeah.
It's like a giant keyboard, and then it plugged into a CRT, basically.
Yeah. There's games in that I can just, like, are, like, they'd be the first games I played as like, growing up. And then you had, like, Desert Strike, and you'd, There was another one called RoboFish. It's actually a brilliant game. It's like a side scroller, 2D platformer game, and you're a robotic fish, and it's like kind of like Inspector Gadget kind of thing. Like you can get upgrades, but your torso extends, so you need to kind of, you're like telescopic. In other words, you have to get up to the ceiling of the game, where you can crawl over obstacles and stuff, navigate around the map.
But Desert Strike. Desert Strike would have been the same that was on the Sega, no? They had like Desert Strike, Jungle Strike, and Urban Strike.
I remember like Desert Strike was a helicopter game, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Desert Strike was a helicopter game.
I can't remember, was it on? I'm almost certain it was on the Amstrad that was on. Road Rash.
It seems advanced for such an old Road Rash.
It does when you think of it now, actually.
There was definitely a crossover, so with all of these PC games and like the Sega games, as Sega started, I would say.
Yeah.
Because these games I know, Road Rash I know from the Sega as well.
Like, I think, like you said, like your first kind of gaming memories, it's like it is quite specific to consoles as well. Because, like, I remember when I got the PlayStation. And even just the startup sound from the PlayStation is just instant nostalgia, like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you buy the new PlayStation, for the very first startup, it'll do that intro sound, and then it doesn't do it ever again.
Oh, cool! So you just get a one-time,
yeah, one-time thing. I remember the very first games. We got two games with the PlayStation, and I'm not a sports game person, but it was Striker 96. Mm-hmm. And the brother got Alien Trilogy.
I remember this. Yeah. This was kind of like the Doom clone type thing.
Yeah, exactly. No, that it's actually just as you said it, yeah, exactly like that. But like games like that would have been really kind of standout would have been kind of like Hercules. And it was just from the music in the game. And even if you just watched the film, we actually watched it recently again, the animated movie for Hercules, and like all the sounds in that are in the game. And even is this Danny DeVito that does the voice of the goat.
The little devil thing. Yeah. Or the little goat, yes, the goat.
Like all his voice lines are in the game that are in the film. And it's just like it just brings you back the whole time.
I remember there was a lot of those kind of Disney games, like the early ones would have been like Hercules, as you said, and also Tarzan, I remember. And then the later ones, as like the PS1 was coming to a close, was like the Atlantis games, which were really good.
I never played the Atlantis. I remember Aladdin.
Yeah, Aladdin. That was on the Sega, though. So you had like Aladdin, Lion King, Toy Story. They were all on the Sega because they were the early days.
I never, but how did I play it, so? Because I remember playing Aladdin.
Maybe they were on the PS1.
I remember Taz on Sega, because my cousin had a Sega.
Yeah.
Cousin.
That was incredibly difficult.
And it was good. And Looney Tunes. The Looney Tunes games were class. I remember when it was my aunt gave us a TV before, they had a spare TV. So a big massive TV. The really thick ones, mm-hmm. The really heavy ones. You nearly need a 3-person lift to get it moved. And it wasn't overly large.
The ones where all the weight is on the front and then the back is like dead light.
And I remember Mom used to try and get us to go to bed early. So me and my brother sharing a room growing up, like we were staying up and we were playing Looney Tunes like into the wee hours. But like we're in like our house wouldn't be the most sound kind of proof. And their room kind of more or less being adjacent to ours. Well, it wouldn't really be adjacent, but adjacent enough. And we just were stupid enough not to keep either the TV on mute or we were making noise.
Yeah.
And I remember Mom came in and she got so frustrated. She actually threw our TV off the dresser. I was like, well, that's that now. And just exited the room. Yeah. Just broke the TV. They were like, okay, not to piss her off again. See, it's important not to mess with people's sleep.
I had many moments like that where I'd be doing like really crap in school and then, you know, I'd get some like note home saying I wasn't doing my homework or something and then I'd just see my dad like pulling my PlayStation out of the wall and I'd be like, no!
Take my arm!
And then you'd be like, you'd be really good for like 2 days. You'd be like, can I have my PlayStation back? And then you just repeat the process again.
And I remember, like, can you remember when you transitioned to, I know, kind of slightly down the timeline, but can you remember when you transitioned from, like, PlayStation to Xbox? Like, how did that transition come about?
Mine was a weird one. So I think we'll get to it a little later, because it happened in the later generations, not as soon as the Xbox came out.
Yeah.
It happened when, like, the second edition of the 360 came out. Basically,
you didn't get the original Xbox, huh?
I did have it for certain periods of time, but I didn't.
It sounds very suspicious. It's very cryptic. I had it from now, now and again. All right, wait, yeah. So look, we jumped ahead. So what was your earliest gaming?
Okay. So my earliest, like I have one specific gaming memory that's my absolute earliest that I can remember so vividly. And there's no photo of this. There's no video. Nobody has told me about this. I was just on my own, but I remember it perfectly, right? And did you know about the Sega Game Gear?
No.
So the Sega Game Gear was basically the first Game Boy. It was before the Game Boy, and it was the Game Gear, right? Okay. I don't know, was it before, but they were roughly around the same time. And the Game Gear looked like a Game Boy Advance, kind of, right? Yeah. So it was a big, chunky thing, but it was kind of, it was way bigger than a Game Boy, and it was like, let's say, this size. It was similar to like a Steam Deck now. It was that kind of size.
Oh, mad.
And, but this, this Game Gear basically had Sega-style graphics, so it looked like a Mega Drive. It was in color. It was a bit less quality, of course, but at that kind of size, it looked really, really good. And the problem was it took like 8 batteries, and then you would put 8 AA batteries in, and then it would last, no joke, 2 hours, and it would be dead, right?
Yeah.
And this was when batteries cost a lot. You didn't have rechargeable batteries. You didn't have anything. So it did come with an adapter that you could plug into it, and that would let you play it in the wall. And I think the Game Boy didn't have this. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I remember specifically there was only like our house was quite old as well, so it didn't have a lot of plugs. And that was always like the big thing about our house. There was no sockets anywhere. So there was one on the top of the stairs for like cleaning the house, and that was never in use. So I would sit on the top of the stairs with the Game Gear plugged in, looking down the stairs, playing it, and that was just where I was, because we never had fucking batteries for this thing.
At least you had somewhere to sit.
At least I had somewhere to sit, yeah. But and the lead was like tiny, it was like 1 meter or something. Yeah, so that's my earliest memory, playing Sonic on the Game Gear, and we had some kind of kart racer that was complete rubbish, but and we had Tetris, I think. But that was like, it was then for me a step down going to the Game Boy. Because the Game Boy was such bad graphics in comparison, but that was what made it so great, because the battery lasted so long in the Game Boy that you could do like, what was it, like 10 hours, 12 hours?
I couldn't tell you.
If you didn't have the sound. Yeah, true. And the chunky Game Boy also took like 6 batteries or 4? 6?
I don't know.
4? 4 batteries.
I just came up and used their stuff. I wasn't replacing batteries. I just handed it back to them. It just stayed.
It was like the case that you would go around as well and steal all the batteries from the remotes in the house. And you would run out of remotes to steal it from. And the remotes needed such little power that they would still work for a while, but the batteries wouldn't power it the same way.
Your dad's like, I just replaced this last week.
Yeah. These controls are fucking shit.
I used to do the same, actually. I used to the Xbox, actually, the controller, because obviously you could put in, you had either the battery pack or you could put in 2 AA's.
Mm-hmm.
Or two double A's. And,
2 AA's.
Yeah, I used to be constantly robbing, TV batteries. So, all right, we were initially kind of talking about the pitch. So, how long were you thinking about doing this podcast? And why?
So for me...
Go on, sorry. Go on.
No, go ahead. Give me the two-parter.
Do the one-parter. So was the drive for doing this? The incentive.
The drive for doing it initially was basically I would listen to the lads podcast, press any button to continue, and basically I would listen to their podcast, and then I would be like talking in the Discord to people because they have a Discord community as well. And I would be talking in the Discord, I'd be sending in listener submissions, and then I would be like, It wasn't enough, because I had like this urge to talk about these things, and just texting people wasn't really enough. And obviously in your adult life, you don't have as much time as you would like. You're busy with work and so on. So then these things kind of get pushed back, and we didn't game for a long time. I didn't game with a lot of people for the last year or two, basically. And it's hard to kind of find that time and get that schedule. And someone is always going through something busy in their life, whether it's like buying a house or having a kid or getting married or starting a new job or something, and then these things get pushed back. So that kind of got me thinking, like, it would be cool to do this podcast with something, because I have all this stuff that I want to get out of me, basically, like all this nostalgia stuff. And then I was thinking, but it has to be with the right person, because obviously I moved to Austria now and I grew up in Ireland. So for me to do it with someone in Austria doesn't make any sense, because things weren't global back then. So you had very... you had very isolated incidents, let's say, happening in Ireland, in the trends there. And you had very different things going on in Austria. Like in Austria, PC gaming was huge and the Game Boy wasn't quite as big. So everyone that I know here gamed mostly, some of them had a Game Boy, but not Pokemon. And then a lot of them gamed on PC. And then it's not really relatable when they're PC gaming that early.
Yeah.
To have stories with them and have relatable stories. Because for me, the PC exposure was very small up until I was like 16, 17, I would say. So I thought, who could we do this with? And obviously, there's only one person that could do this, and that's you. And then I was like, so if I now ask Jamie, and he says no, then that's it.
It's basically right.
Dead in the water, because it's dead in the water, because there's no one else to do this with. And there's no one from my childhood that I'm still in touch with that has such a love for gaming as we do, basically. You know, I have grown up and grown out of it and stuff. And for me, there was only this option. So I prepared this big, long pitch. And I was like, I'm only going to ask you this once. I think I mentioned it a few times, like that I have this urge.
Yeah, I'm going to pitch this to you once. And then brackets, it's like, may, or quick disclaimer, may actually mention this more than once. It's
like, yeah. So I wrote this big, long text and I was like, look, I'm thinking of doing this podcast idea. I think you would be perfect because we have all these stories and we don't know each other's history past like the age of 21. And basically we want to do the podcast mostly about the retro stuff, I guess, as well as modern. So I wrote down all these ideas of episode ideas we could have. And there was like, 30, 40, 50 episode ideas. And I was like, this is why I think we should do it and blah, blah, blah. And then I think you read the message for about 2 seconds and then said,
watch this shit. I was like, watch
didn't
this.
Read all of that. I'm in.
Game on.
Yeah. And then we got to talking and we got to prepping and I think the excitement kind of built up around that thing.
Yeah. I think it's just nice just to kind of conversationally kind of discuss. Just not even just, it doesn't even have to be directly related to gaming, but meaning within the kind of the circle of gaming. Like, I know when you kind of saying before, like, about kind of couch or LAN parties or kind of couch play, like, did you have a lot of that growing up? Were you able to couch play a lot?
Couch play, I had a lot of. LAN parties, not so much. I think that's more where you come in.
Yeah,
like so I think there's a bit of a divide as well. Like you had the big internet cafe influence, I didn't.
How come you never got into that console though?
We'll get into all this. There was reasons behind it. There was reasons. To bring the topics back. So that would have been my first memory, right? And then like my first like very vivid memory, and then basically I have early memories of consoles. So I had a brother that was quite a bit older by just a few years, and basically he would have the consoles first and then I would play them when he's not playing, or be the player too, like in Sonic when you're not really playing and stuff like this, your tails just flying around the screen. And I would then play when he wasn't, but when Pokemon first came out, he had the Game Boy and he had Pokemon, right? But I was allowed to play it. But obviously I couldn't save because there was only one save file.
Oh, no.
So I would play it and then I would be waiting for him to put it down. And then, he was nice enough to let me play it. I mean, you know, most people would tell you, fuck off. Because it was using the batteries a lot as well. So I would play it and then basically he would finish playing, put it away, and then he was at work or whatever. And I would be like, or at school. At the time, and I would be like, I'm going to play, and I would jump in, and then I would be like, who's after evolving from his Pokemon? Where is he now? What gym is he on? You know, and I would like get to play a little bit, but then have to give up, and I wouldn't really know what I was doing because I wasn't following the story, so I didn't know what the next puzzle was.
Drip-fed like the story.
Yeah, just dropped into a random city, and you're like, which direction was I going? So that was the first time. Then we had also a Sega, and it was the same story with the Sega, but I would get to play that a lot more because you didn't need save files for a lot of games. And the ones that you did had multiple save files, so that was fine. So I got to play that a lot. And we'll get into the games in a while. But with the Game Boy, my first like own Game Boy that I had was I was able to get a Game Boy Color. And then my brother gave me his Pokemon Red version, and he bought Yellow version because Yellow version had just come out. That was like the upgraded one. And the kind of the unspoken agreement we had was I would get his red version and I had the Game Boy Color.
Mm.
And then when I wasn't using the Game Boy Color, he would play yellow version on it because it had all the colors for the Game Boy Color, basically. And so, and then eventually he just gave me the yellow version as well. So I had also a yellow version. So I had like a new playthrough as well. So I got a lot of stuff as just like hand-me-downs from my brother. And then the first console I got myself was, I'm being very brief here now, but I think we'll do like more detailed yeah. episodes on each console and stuff anyway. And the first one I got was, so the PlayStation came out.
Mm.
And this was like big news, right? And the N64 came out. And in my head, the N64 came out way before the PS1.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
The N64 came out after the PS1.
Yeah, quite.
Which is weird, because you just associate cartridges with these older games.
Like wait, this. Was the Nintendo 64, they had the weird-shaped controller, wasn't it? It was like three...
They had the tripod controller.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah. I remember actually, I remember that coming out after the PlayStation. But was there another type of... Was there another Nintendo before that?
Yeah, there was the Nintendo Entertainment System, and then there were the original Mario games, and then there was the SNES, and that was kind of the next stage of the SNES.
Yeah, yeah.
That was more in line with, like, the Mega Drive.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, the Mega Drive. The Mega Drive came out the same time around PlayStation, didn't it?
Yeah. No, it came out earlier.
All right.
Welcome to the Game Design Podcast, where we have all the facts.
Yeah, all the facts.
I want to do this from memory, so I didn't look any of it up. But I think the Sega Mega Drive came out in like 92 or 93, and then the straight PS1.
Yeah.
And the PS1 then came out in 94. And I think the N64 came out in 95 or 96.
Yeah.
And the Game Boy Color, I think, came out in 97. But in my mind, the Game Boy Color came out before everything. Then the PS1 came. Then the N64 came out. Then the PS1 came out. But I know that's wrong.
Yeah, that is wrong.
But the first console we had, or I bought myself, was the PS1, but not the PlayStation 1, the actual PS1, so like the mini one. Do you remember this?
They made it like smaller.
PSONE.
Yeah,
they made it smaller, yeah. So this was the first one I had. And this game, this came with the game Croc.
What's the game Croc?
Do you remember this? This was like an alligator type thing that looked like Yoshi running around the place. It was like a platformer.
All right.
And even back in the day, like the name is fitting because it was a crock of shit. The game was just like very generic. It was just like run from point A to point B. Here's your enemies. And there was nothing that caught me about it. I remember being bored playing it.
Oh.
But it was just like, oh, I bought this PS1. And, you know, you've been telling your parents like, no, I just need the console. I don't need anything else. And then they buy you no games. And then you just have this gray console and gray game.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so I remember playing a lot of this. And then I don't really remember what the first PS1 games I got was. I remember having like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Hercules and stuff like this, but I don't remember any like massive big ones from this. I'm going to check my notes. So that was the first one I owned.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the first console I had because I got like donated some before this as well.
Yeah.
And then after this, I was always late getting the consoles. So like when the PS2 came out, I didn't have the PS2 straight away. I had it like 6 months later or something like this, right?
Yeah.
So, because they would come out and I would get one maybe for my birthday or something. Yeah, so that's kind of the early years.
Hmm.
In terms of my friends' consoles, I would have played like the PlayStation, the N64. I was the only one with the Sega, I believe.
My cousin Shane was the only one I know who had a Sega.
Because I don't think they sold a lot in Ireland.
No, there was only, I'd say, two, maybe three of my friends had the Xbox. And I think most of us had like PlayStation 1s, but another buddy had a PlayStation. He was the only one who had a PlayStation 2, and everyone else seemed to kind of transition onto Xbox when they released. But with retro stuff, like I don't know how you deem retro now. Is an original Xbox One retro now at this stage?
I would say even the 360 is retro.
There's actually one thing actually with the press any button to continue. They were saying what would you classify as retro, and I have the answer.
Yeah, this episode. Yeah,
my answer for them is a retro game is anything that you. So retro, you have to have the original platform to play on. in order to play that specific game. I think that would be a definition of retro.
Okay. Like, so something that
is re-released like on a later platform.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I
think
you need everything to be original.
If you had a game that was released on the 360 and at the same time released on Xbox One, that's not a retro game.
No.
Because that's like a backwards comparison.
Yeah, it's just nostalgia. Yeah. But where you actually have to kind of say, all right, I actually want to play Donkey Kong, the original Mario, and you have to actually go in physically, pull out Nintendo, plug in everything, get the adapters to play it, and being able to play it, then that's retro. You know, that's true
to
form.
So you're like, you're the purist.
That would be the purest definition.
Like the consoles. Yeah.
In terms of
generational, where's your cutoff point then?
In what context now?
Like, what certain year do we get to that you say everything before this was retro and everything after this was not retro?
I think once the platform is not available.
Okay. So once it's, because the technical definition is something that's not produced anymore.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
So technically the Xbox One is retro, the original, because it's not produced anymore. We get into gray area, because then I think the reason we get into gray area is because we used to have the Sega games, right?
Yeah.
And then let's do PlayStation. We had the PS1 games and then we had the PS2 games. And as I remember it, every game that was on the PS1 didn't release on the PS2. So there was no like double releases. Am I right?
Yeah. And stuff, certain things weren't. And it is true today. Like a lot of things aren't backwards compatible.
But if you take like the Xbox One, right? And you take the Series X, they're kind of like, the Series X to me is almost like the Xbox One Pro. It's not this huge step up because the games are more or less available on both. Some are like optimized for Series X rather than not. It's like this gray area where you had the Xbox One, you had the Xbox One X, you had the Xbox Series X, and the same on PlayStation. You have the PS4, you have the PS4 Pro, and you have the PS5. And for me, there's no like clear definition between the consoles like there used to be. Like when a PS2 game was out and the PS3 game came out, that was a completely different game from what you were playing on PS2.
Yeah, like I suppose, but then there's all this kind of thing about next gen. And I just think a lot of the times, I think like that's the biggest frustration playing on the likes of the new Series X. Like a lot of games that are optimized for the Series X, you can't play them on a standard hard drive. They have to be on the SSD. So it's like the game to me doesn't look any different, even though it's supposed to be optimized for the Series X. So it's just, like you said, kind of gray areas. I don't think there's any kind of a leap in graphics or anything. I think it's just all a marketing ploy. They're very typically, I think consoles used to be released kind of every 7 to 10 years. So a way to drive sales is to make it slimline and kind of, they say, oh, it's got increased power or increased performance, and it's a smaller profile, so people are happy to buy it. But ultimately, there's nothing different, you know.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I would kind of categorize it into three things, and this was the idea of making the episode layout. So today, we kind of discussed the early stuff, and for me, that's everything up until the PS3 and the 360 are released. Then I think that phase is kind of a different phase where we're into like proper 3D graphics and things are really getting good. Online play is coming out, so it's a game changer. It was obviously on the PS2 as well, but it wasn't that widespread.
Same with the Xbox.
So I think
they actually had Xbox Live, yeah.
Same with the Xbox, yeah, but it wasn't like everyone wasn't playing it.
No.
You had the real hardcores that were playing like Halo Online and stuff like this, but not for us normies. And then I would say that the later phase is kind of the Xbox One, PS4 onwards, and that's kind of where everything just becomes a mesh and kind of melds together with PC gaming as well, where you have all this crossplay going on, and then it's not really that easy to define anymore.
Yeah. So, like, if you're to take it back, so your first console was your first home console was kind of the PlayStation then, or the Sega Mega Drive?
So we had like the family consoles. That was the Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And then we got like the Sega Mega Drive 2, which I thought at the time was a new console. And you can imagine my disappointment when we got home and it was basically the same, just a bit optimized. And then the same thing happened with the PlayStation. I thought the PS1 was like the next level and this was going to be better. And I even remember playing that and being like, oh, it looks way better. And it was, of course,
just exactly the same.
Like the rose tinted glasses from having something new. You know, it's like when you wash your car and you think it drives better.
Yeah. Well, it sounds much healthier.
Yeah. Oh, let's fix that problem. So I would have had exposure to a lot of friends' consoles because we had like a group of, let's say, four friends. But I had kind of a separation as well. I had like other friends at times, like, you know, someone who was kind of living near me, and then I had my core friends, which were a bit further away. And we would, like, our whole days revolved around gaming, basically. Mm. So we would, like, go to the shop, and then we would go to someone's house and game. And then we would, like, get kicked out of there and go play football, and then go to someone's house and game again. And it was basically just whoever's parents would have us in the house to game, basically. So I remember playing a lot of PS1, like Crash Team Racing was a big one.
Yeah.
I remember playing like Casper, Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus, these kind of games.
Yeah.
A lot of this kind of stuff. I have a list. Let me get the list. So, yeah, I remember playing GoldenEye on the N64. That was like a huge one. Playing Halo at my friend's places. Playing Super Mario on the N64 and Pod Racer. On the PlayStation, before I bought the PS1, I got donated like the chunky PlayStation from my uncle, and with that I got a bunch of like games that I probably shouldn't have been playing at that age, which was like
GTA.
It was GTA. GTA was one of them, but it was GTA 2, Fear Effect, and Tony Hawk's, which was fine, G-Police. There was a game called MDK. I don't know if you remember this.
I remember that.
Do you remember with the black alien?
The black alien.
Yeah.
I was looking for that game for so long.
So you were basically... I looked up this game because I played it as a kid, but I didn't remember the cutscenes or anything. And I looked it up, and it's the weirdest thing. You have like, you're in this alien spaceship, basically.
Yeah.
And there's like 8 worlds, and the worlds have like these farming machines. And you're basically landing on these massive farming machines, and they look like the farming machines in like Doom or something like this.
Yeah.
And you land on them, and each one is really different, like environmentally, interior wise. And then you have to get to the boss and you have to fight it. So it's like 7 bosses. And then you get brought back to the ship and then you jump down to the next one. And that was kind of the story. And there's like a scientist in the ship that has a dog. And the dog is helping you in some places. But it's a really wacky, weird game.
Would that be the weirdest game you can think of now? Like,
that was like one of the weirdest earlier games I can think of. That was really bizarre.
And I have one for you. Did you ever hear of Slamscape? It was on the PS1. No. I'll show you this later. There's like, and this obviously kind of boils down, like, there was no such thing really as, apart from the bare basic kind of controls, like instructions on controls or a guide to the controls, there was never any hand holding in early games. Like, it was something you just had to play and figure out yourself.
Yeah.
And this game, I'm not joking, I spent hours in it, and it was only until I actually had looked up recently, because it took me forever to get, I can still hear the game sounds in my head. I can still hear all the game sounds. And it's like, to me, I was literally trying forever. I knew Scape was in the title. I was trying to find the name of this game. And it was actually, I was re-looking it up because there's a few games I have pinned here that I wanted to show you. And kind of the two standout ones from the PlayStation would have been this, Slamscape and Overboard, right? But Slamscape is... Overboard. Little boats, yeah.
The boats, the pirate
that
boats,
was phenomenal.
Shoot at each other. That was awesome.
But in Slamscape, it's the weirdest game. Like, we look at a clip there after and we can clip it in. But the...
Okay. I see there's like, I just looked up like screenshots now and it looks like a meme.
Like, it's actually, you're in kind of like a fun fair kind of carnival kind of theme. You're in kind of like a little wedge-shaped kind of, it looks like a wipeout kind of ship. And you kind of...
Yeah, it looks exactly...
You have to kind of collect these kind of stars, and you have to, each kind of, we'll say carnival ride is a puzzle, but there's different ways to beat the puzzle, and there's a boss at the center of that puzzle in order to get to the next step. But like, it would just be pure fluke that you'd end up kind of figuring out some of these, and you'd advance to the second level. But if you died... You reverted back to the start again. But
I remember playing so many games. Now that you mentioned like getting stuck, I remember playing so many games and you would be stuck in a certain area. You couldn't Google this stuff because there was no internet. You had nothing to look up, basically. You had no YouTube to watch how to play it.
Yeah.
And you would just like, eventually get so bored that you'd be like, right, I'm just going to go through every inch of the map and just like check every single area and try and interact with everything and try and shoot everything or jump on everything just to try and get some reaction out of something. And yeah. I remember enjoying this, like loving the tediousness of running through every little...
I think there's something nice about that too, because I think too often our games kind of too easy to, you know, like there's no struggle as much as you did before. And I think I always feel like I was better at games way earlier than I am now, because I just think it's too easy to look up a guide or to look up how to cheese a boss or something. It's just, I think there's a lot of, and the same, like a lot more games kind of got into kind of like a cheating kind of aspect where you can kind of exploit certain game mechanics. Yeah. Kind of a thing.
Yeah. I think there's kind of two things to it. The game controls have gotten so complicated that you require a tutorial, obviously. Because if you look at something like Prey or The Witcher, you have no hope of playing that without a tutorial, basically. But what I don't like is when you have a mission to do or a quest, and then if you don't solve it within 10 seconds, it's like pinging you exactly where to go, like, go over here, press A.
Yeah.
That annoys
me. It's a little too hand-holdy. Ubisoft or anything.
Just to add to this, I started playing, I don't know if you know the game Ico.
No.
So, you know Shadow of the Colossus on the PS2?
Something the main reason why I'd actually buy a PlayStation. Yeah, it's one game I really want to play. Okay.
So, Ico is like the prequel game. I don't know if it came out. I think it was the studio that made it before. It's not really a prequel, but it's in the same universe, basically. And I started playing that, and I played it with no guides and no like walkthroughs or anything. And I really felt like my ability to play through games had like, I'd become stupid basically, because I had like no idea what to check. I had no patience. I was just like, oh, you know, I just want to look it up. And I kind of missed that torture.
Yeah. But I suppose it's it's too easy. I'm just in a habit, as you know, I have an awful habit of pre-ordering games, which I've kind of gotten the hang of now. But just being so disappointed on game releases, but I have an awful habit of acquiring games.
I think for you, Cyberpunk was the breaking point for that.
Yeah, and there was one or two others. I'll figure them out in a second and we can go over them. But like my main point is kind of like I have an awful habit of I'd acquire games and I don't play them. Like I have new titles. Like, and you know, I think when you're younger, like there was a game you wanted and you got it and you played it to death, because it was probably a while to come before you get another game, or you'd go back to the days of having to nearly hand in your entire game repertoire to GameStop just to get like 60% of the game value so you could actually buy something new. We'll take in two new titles for some trading against some game that's 10 years old and they want an extra 20 or to go with it.
That was guessed that it was like, you know, oh, we're doing, you can trade in 83 games and we'll give you a brand new game. And it was like, oh, that's a brilliant deal. And then there's a list of like 12 games that meet the criteria of this three games.
Oh, and you can actually go into them. You can actually get them. You can get the gaming list or their list printed out, and you can see what games trade in for the most, which was handy. So you could actually get like a really cheap copy online and hand it in to profit like game store credit. It would be more game store credit than it would be physical cash.
But I do think it was good for certain things. Like if you had a fairly new game that you just weren't into, or you finished very quickly and you just weren't bothered with anymore, you could go down and like if you spent 60 quid on that game, you could get like sometimes 35 euro store credit.
Yeah.
Which is really good. But where I think I made the mistake younger is trading in a lot of games for like a euro or 2 euros.
Oh, stop.
It's like, oh, we'll give you like, you have like a pile of games you can barely carry, and they're like, 14 cash or 19 credit. I'll take the credit, thanks.
Yeah. Like 80 quid's worth of games.
It's just like, oh, if I could go back and just put them in a box.
Yeah. Oh. I never was one for handing in like consoles or anything. Or there was a buddy of mine, he done it. He was actually, Cash Converters used to be in the city. Good old Cash Converters. Shout out to Cash Converters.
Very reputable.
Yeah, very reputable. But remember,
They were actually pretty good because they made you submit ID, and I think they worked closely with the guards and stuff in case stuff was stolen.
Yeah.
So I think they were pretty decent.
But the, like, I remember the buddy he handed in, like, I remember he was trading in consoles and everything, like, and he was just walking away with, like, no money from it, like, and it was just like, I was like, I would have actually paid more than they gave to take it off you. But just when you were kind of talking
about, just to add to your cash converters point there, I remember once my friend went in, just before I forget, with the PS2, and his PS2 wouldn't load games. It would only do it, like, when you put the disc in, like, five times, it would load it once, right? So he thought, like, he would, like, just go in and chance it, and they would turn it on, and it would work, hopefully, and then they would take the console, yeah, you know, because they checked it, obviously. So he basically went in with his PS2, and this was worth a lot at the time. Like, this was worth a couple hundred pounds, I think. And or euro, it would have just been euro, I think. And he was like, oh, I'm going to try and sell this, and then I'll buy a new one, you know. And I was like, okay, grand. And we went in there, and he, you know, rocked up with the PS2, and they tested it, and of course it didn't work. And then they were like, we're not taking it, because they turned it on and off like 10 times. And he was like, oh, it works every five times you do it. And the man was like, no, forget it. And then he was like, will you not give me anything for it? And the guy was like, no, nothing. And then he was like, look, I tell you what. And he took like all the leads and the controller from it. Yeah. And he was like, I'll give you 10 euro for that lot. And my friend was like, okay. And then walked away. And then afterwards was like, now I'm just stuck with the PS2 that I can't do anything with. And no money to buy anything new.
But, and then you go in looking for those leads back, and you might be like, yeah, 60 quid, please. It's like, for all that.
Yeah, they were for sale then for like 20 euro each. Like.
Oh, God. You were saying, like, you remember, like, GoldenEye. Did you play, like, Red Faction?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking of, like, kind of multiplayer games, so, early multiplayer games. Quake.
This gets into a really specific story. So we would have all had games, and, you know, you go to your friends' houses, and some people would have, like, stricter parents than others, right? So some would be, like, you know, only have, like, the Super Marios and Banjo-Kazooies and stuff, and then other people would have a lot darker stuff. So we had one friend called Chris, and basically his dad was a big gamer, right? And this was really unusual back in the day. So his dad was big into games, and they always had, like, the latest consoles. They had, like, a gaming PC and everything. And he would have the really edgy games. Like, we had, like, all the Metal Gear Solids. We had, like, you know, GTA. We had, like, Tomb Raider, if you could call that edgy back in the day. That was scary to me back in the day, playing Tomb Raider.
Getting chased by wolves.
Yeah, like, chased by wolves in these dark tunnels, and everything was shadowy. And the T-Rex, that was terrifying. What was the question?
Red Faction.
So he had all these these games, and Red Faction was one of them. And I remember going into this arena, and Red Faction, I think, was the first game with destructible environments.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So ahead of its time.
We would spend hours, like, just saying, oh, let's go two sides of the map and we see who can build the biggest tunnel. And we'd just be, like, blasting through the tunnels. But that was awesome, yeah. I remember that one.
I remember Quake being big growing up.
Time Splitters was a big one for me as well.
I never played Time Splitters.
Oh, man, the soundtrack alone. It's like this techno kind of dance music.
And yeah.
So Time Splitters 2 is the one to play, right? Because that has the campaign. And Time Splitters 2, you basically are in the space station in the future. And these monsters come in, and they steal these things called time crystals, and then they go back into this time portal with them. And basically what you have to do is you have to chase down each one of these time crystals. But the way they do it is they're all at a certain point in time. So, like, the first level is, like, Soviet Russia in, like, the Cold War or something like this. The next level then is, like, Notre Dame back in the day in, like, you know, Dracula times. The next level after that is, like, this alien planet in the future. The next level after that is, like, Chicago in the 40s and stuff. And it was a really cool way to get this really varied game that you don't get bored with any of the levels. And the weapons change then for each level. So, like, we got futuristic weapons, old school weapons. So that was really cool. And then I have that on the shelf behind me.
They've re-released it, actually. Really? They've remastered it on the Xbox. Yeah. I was actually looking at it the other day. I was like, I think I might pick it up.
Because they have it on the Xbox, and you can play it upscaled on the Xbox One, and it looks amazing.
I might say.
We should play. Yeah.
It's a multiplayer.
Such a good game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not co-op, I think, but you can do multiplayer arena.
All right. Let's see. I remember Duke Nukem kind of being one of the edgier games growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember there was actually like a Duke Nukem, there was a multiplayer for that. And I remember you'd be kind of going around like, and you'd have like toga, like wearing togas and using the RPGs.
There was all these weird modes as well, like big head mode and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember that being kind of like probably one of the edgiest games growing up.
Getting back to the PS1 games, because we're getting deep into it again. So what were the first PS1 games you had? I had two more on my list, and that's it.
So the...
For PS1.
Oh, but you see again, like, was Ape Escape on?
Ape Escape is on my list. It's the next one I was going to say.
Phenomenal game.
That was unbelievable. That was the first game I remember that the analogs made sense. Because, you know, in every game before this, they...
Yeah, you hear the rumbling when you're getting...
But not even that, the analog sticks. Like, that was the first game I remember where... Because we had, like, Tomb Raider and stuff, and Tomb Raider would work with the analogs. But you didn't need it. You know, it just worked like a directional pad. You weren't using... Like,
do you remember when the analogs first came out?
You're like, this is amazing. Like, what the fuck are these things? you could, in Ape Escape, one analog controlled the character and one controlled your gadget. So Ape Escape is like you're trying to find all these apes that escape, basically, in different like levels. And it's kind of like Banjo-Kazooie or Super Mario, like a collectathon type thing. And you're running around, and then as you go on, you get new gadgets each time. And some of them are like a remote control car, like a plane, a net, and, you know, different things like sword and so on. And the right stick controlled your gadget, whatever that was, and the left stick controlled you. And that was the first game I remember playing where I was like, the analogs make so much sense. That was the first game that utilized them. Because even if you look at Metal Gear Solid and stuff, you only use one analog and you can use the direction pad just the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you have fixed camera for a lot of these games.
I remember the sounds for Ape Escape were phenomenal. They were just, it's just a good game.
It's so good.
Do you ever play Hogs of War?
And that sounds really familiar. Is it like Worms? No?
No. It's like, I think it's first person or third person. I remember that growing up. Again, I'm just kind of thinking like multiplayer games.
Let me do a little googly-doo first. This was like a legit like... Ah, I do remember this. This was to me, at least in my head, this worked like Worms, no? Where you had a certain amount of time to move the character and like shoot at someone.
Was it?
No.
I actually don't remember.
I don't know.
Might have been.
Maybe I'm just mixing up the two.
Worms, I remember. I liked Worms.
Worms was great. That was a great multiplayer game because you could have like 8 players and just pass the controller around.
There's one thing actually. You got the Monkey Island games there not too long ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember the original?
No, I never played the original. Never heard of it.
We had the original on like a really grotty PC. Like phenomenal. Like. Probably, I just have a kind of little asterisk there to remind me to bring it up, but I was like, that was definitely kind of up there. Like, I love point-and-click games. Like, love them. So, like, kind of early games, like, so Monkey Island or Broken Sword was another one. I love the Broken Sword games. You can get them on your phone now, and they're just, like, a must-buy if, even now, just get them on your phone if you're sitting on a train or something. They're just kind of like really true to form, very good narrative games to play.
Okay. I need to look them up.
Very nostalgic.
The last game I had that I remember specifically was, actually there's two, sorry, for the Disney games. Do you remember the Buzz Lightyear game? This was one of the later ones as well. But it wasn't like a Toy Story game. It was Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. So it was like in the Buzz Lightyear universe.
Don't remember.
You were the action hero. Unbelievable game. So good. And You had like...
It's amazing how all these kind of childish kind of games seem to be the most fun. Children
dream. Yeah, but they're just good, honest games. Yeah. You know? They're just good, honest games. Like in Buzz Lightyear, you had all these different vehicles, all these different weapons. It was kind of like an early Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
You know, the way Ratchet and Clank brought in all of these upgrades.
Never
and
played
weapons
it.
And gadgets and stuff. Good God, man. Cancel the podcast.
I know, I've been bad. Same. I'm actually, no, there is quite a few games I haven't played that I'd like to get on Ratchet.
I mean, I think that's the case for everyone. I'm only ripping the piss, like, but I hate when you say like, oh, I haven't seen this movie. You haven't seen this movie. And it's like, yeah, there's probably thousands of movies you haven't seen.
Well, no, it's more to the point that I've sent you a request to, you're into your Marvel and into your MCU and DC stuff. And it's like, I'm like, the best MCU film is Logan, just because the sheer, and I keep saying, have you watched Logan yet, Garrett?
But I watched it. I watched it.
Did you? What did you think?
Yeah, I watched it. No, did I? Is Logan the one with Deadpool in it?
No.
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, wait. Is he in that one?
He is. He's not Deadpool with the suit. No. But he's Deadpool with the mask or something.
To be honest, I can't.
Is Charles Xavier in it at the end?
Yeah. No, Charles Xavier's in it anyway.
Yeah. I think this is the one. And the end is like this fight on this big metal container type thing.
I don't think so. No, okay. Basically.
We'll have to come back to this. I'll have to watch Logan and then come back to it.
Is Xavier ill and frail in
I'm going to tell you, Jim, everything I just told you is everything I remember about this movie.
All right, well, no, you're going to watch it. That's your homework.
I'll watch it again.
It's just because of the kind of the question it raises. Like, all right, there's Xavier has dementia. And
I've seen it.
But just think of that kind of.
Yeah, I gotta watch it again though.
Yeah, you have to. It's just that kind of question. Just imagine like the most powerful mind being kind of stricken with a very human illness.
Yes, and not having
any control of his abilities. Like that's just like mind breakingly good plot.
So yeah, the Buzz Lightyear games, they were very good. So there's going to be plenty of games we haven't played, which is
yeah, and we'll have to.
It's also like inspiration to like pick up these titles and stuff. You know?
Yeah, and we should try and do a list of like maybe like 3 or 4 games that you have to try and play.
Yeah, sure. If now let's say you were to play like, I assume if you haven't played Ratchet and Clank, you haven't played like Jak and Daxter.
No.
Okay, so if you were to play, let's say, Jak and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank, maybe some others, how do you see yourself doing this? Would you just emulate them on your PC, or would you go out, buy the PS2, hook it up to the TV?
In an ideal world, yeah, buy everything original.
Because the PS2 is not that expensive at the moment.
No, but like emulators are just, like even like if you emulate games on your phone, it's just, you know, you kind of need that kind of controller, I think.
It is good, and it's the save states are good and they're handy, but honestly from my experience emulating games, there's a lot of just fucking around with emulators and trying to get certain games to run, especially when you get to PS2 and onwards. And just having the console there, you just plug it in, you just play, you have the nostalgia of taking out the disc, putting it into the PS2, hearing the startup noises. It's nice.
Scratch on the game and you're in panic mode.
Yeah, but this is the way it is. You know, you get the full experience.
Yeah.
So the last, disc. The last game for me on the PS1 is Driver. Do you remember this? So Driver, for me, I played Driver and I never got past the tutorial. Even to this day, I haven't passed the tutorial. Because the tutorial is like you're in this underground parking garage, and you have to like do a series of moves. So it's like do a J turn, do a handbrake turn, do a wheel spin, you know, do a figure eight through these cones within like 1:30 or something like this. But the problem is that sometimes when you do it, it triggers that you've done it, and sometimes when you do it, it doesn't trigger. Right, so it's really hard to get it like so exact that it triggers that oh you've completed this, and I've still never completed it in the time. And it's notoriously difficult. So that's a challenge. Oh,
that's frustrating.
Not for the next episode, because I think we're going to record the next episode right after this. But for episode 4, I give you the homework of trying to pass the Driver tutorial.
All right, I'll get it. I've got, look, Ratchet and Clank down. I'll have Driver down.
All right. There's many more, but these were just some standout ones as kind of an intro. I think we'll do like a whole episode on the PS1.
Right, you're going to download Broken Sword. And you're going to play
Broken Sword, the
first one. Yeah.
All right,
because it was something it's always kind of been like there. I think there's just certain games out there that are like they're just comfort, and that would be kind of one.
Okay. It's a cozy game for you, though.
It's a cozy. It's a game you can literally just sit down in bed and just play away.
Okay. Driver. Consider me sold.
I remember Driver. I was thinking, what I was actually thinking was, do you ever play Taxi? I'm not even sure if it's the right name.
Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
Taxi's a movie.
Or do you remember Socom?
Oh, that was PS2 era, though. We're getting a bit along now, Jim.
What was it?
We need... PS2 had so many titles that we just need to do that in its own episode. Because if we get into it now, it's going to be another 2 hours and we're going to be here talking about Socom. Or Socom. There was also a Conflict Desert Storm. Do you remember that?
Oh, it rings a bell. Conflict Desert Storm.
This was in the era of, like... I think the technology got to a point where shooters started to work because we had these dual analogs and you had the graphics in the PS2. And then all of these type of army shooters just took off. You had like Call of Duty, you had other shooters, and Conflict Desert Storm, you had Socom.
I remember it.
You had tons of stuff. You remember it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look them up.
You had exposure to a lot of consoles. What was your first console that you owned?
Do you count the Amstrad as a console?
I'm gonna say no.
But it's the same.
Just because it's.
But it's the same thing. Like.
Yeah, it's no. It's,
you had the game loaded on a.
Yeah,
floppy
but
disk.
I don't know it, and it scares me.
you had the game on a floppy disk. It connected to your TV.
It is a console. It is a console, but. I would say it like this. You had the console era where there was just like tons of consoles coming out and some of them sold very small numbers because there was just like a lot of crap being pushed out. And then you had like the start of the proper consoles where you had like the battle of the big three, which was Sega, Nintendo, and PlayStation with Xbox joining a little bit later. And I would say they're like the consoles for me. And then before this, it's like the home entertainment systems, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So PlayStation would have been the first console.
Okay. One last thing I'm going to add, and then I think we can wrap up this episode, maybe. One last thing I'm going to add, which is going to get your juices flowing, I think. I remember when I got this original PlayStation from my uncle as like the gift with all these edgy games. This was back in the days of renting games.
Yeah.
And you would basically rent games and then you would have no memory card because these were like as expensive as the console back in the day. So you just played as much as you could play it and then you'd switch it off. And I remember going to the video store and renting, like looking at this box and I was like, this looks kind of cool. I wonder, is this any good? I haven't played anything like this before. And this game was Command & Conquer.
I know you're
a huge fan of this. And I remember coming home. I turned on the PS1 or PlayStation and the PlayStation was just running for like 48 hours straight and I like didn't sleep and I was just completely taken in by Command and Conquer.
I absolutely love, like, obviously Red Alert 2 is just a standout kind of game because of the soundtrack for it, but I actually love the Command and Conquer Tiberian Sun. Kind of was up there.
This I haven't
one of my
played.
Favorites
was
I have
this,
all
was
them
this
got,
the Was Tiberian Sun the remake?
Tiberian was, I think it was the third or fourth game, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
They had the original Command & Conquer, then Red Alert, 2 and 3. Then I think you had Renegade, and then Tiberian Sun, if I'm not mistaken. You also had Generals then after.
Yeah.
So I think Tiberian Sun might be the fourth game.
Yeah, you had Command & Conquer, then you had Renegade, as you said. Renegade, I don't think I played. I think I played the original Command & Conquer.
Renegade, I think, was third person, if not first.
So this was coming away from the original Command & Conquer style, which was looking down from the sky, controlling the units. Okay, weird.
Yeah, I had it, and I had played it, but I think it probably didn't run too well on my computer at the time.
But do you think Command & Conquer Renegade was being developed as something else, and then with the success of Command & Conquer, they just like...
Could have, yeah.
They could labeled do. It and threw it out?
Possibly, yeah.
It's funny because like Command & Conquer, the original game, it was released in like 1995, but takes place basically in 2020. So
yeah.
Now, which is weird. And that was like the future back then.
No, that's what something you should pick up, actually, is you should pick up. They're cheap enough, actually. You can get every one of them for, I think, 20 quid.
And I think with these, I'd probably get them on PC because I think they'd run better with a mouse now at this stage.
I have them on PC and Xbox. Halo Wars as well is is pretty good. I know that's modern, but again, another thing, I think it's free on the pass. Sure. The Command and Conquer games, yeah. Just, I think there was just something, and that would have actually, because when we were discussing kind of internet cafes, I know it wasn't your thing, and I was about to say it. I said I can remember the two games that I started playing when I went into the internet cafe, and there was Day Defeat, Source, and there was mm-hmm. Command and Conquer games, then they'd be kind of the main ones, and obviously Counter-Strike.
Okay,
and,
okay. So I think this would be a good stage to finish this episode.
Yeah, and we'll reminisce episode, about which PlayStation will be 2.
The next episode is basically the online era. So I think we'll come back and we'll do specific episodes on the consoles and all of that, because there's a lot to talk about. But yeah, that's it for kind of our intro to gaming, and then we will see everyone in the next episode. The Age of Online.
The Age of Online.
Okay, then let's leave it there.
Ta-ra.